Please turn, if you would, please, over to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Matthew, chapter 8. I'd like to read verse 5 down through verse 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And this his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. My text will be verse 7, where it says, Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. There is an idiom with which you are most likely familiar. That is music to my ears. You ever heard that? Well, it means good news, doesn't it? If something someone says is music to your ears, it is exactly what you had wanted to hear. Figuratively, it means to welcome, it's a welcome sound to someone, news that someone is pleased to hear. For a child, perhaps the sound of an ice cream truck could be music to his ears. The greeting of the husband entering the door after a long business trip is music to the wife's ears. A receiving word that you've been promoted at work and along with a substantial raise is music to your ears. Now think of this as we approach God with our requests. Most everyone knows that there are three basic answers to man's prayers unto God. Yes, no, or yes, but not right now. Usually we're not too interested in hearing no, and we might like to hear a belated yes. But overall, we want to hear the word of approval, yes, to ask God. And then hear his response, sure, I would be glad to, is indeed music to our ears. Now, our passage tells us of a man who asked Jesus for healing. And we find the Lord answering him in the positive. He said, I will come and heal him. And I suggest unto you that Jesus' response was music to his ears. It is my objective to cover the story found in our text. And there are things that we can learn from this account. Yet I desire to hone in on verse 7 and notice why this is music. But then I would like to express a number of things found in the Bible which may be music to the ears. And so the title of my message today is a very unusual title, I know, but the title is Music to the Ears. Let's pray. God in heaven, again we come before you thanking you for the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, we lift up those who could not be with us due to sickness or providential hindrance. We pray that you would heal them and that you would meet every need. And Lord, just we commit them to you. We pray for all of us here today as we come together to worship in spirit and in truth that, Lord, you'll hear our prayers and the songs of praise have been received to your glory. Now as we attend unto your word, we pray that you would work it in our hearts by your spirit, that we might worship you, we might honor you. I ask that you would move by your spirit in our lives, that, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts today and unfold the message that you've laid upon my heart for them. And we ask if there's any here today that is lost, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus, that today would be the day of their salvation. And may we who are saved rejoice in the salvation we have in Christ. And Lord, may we lean upon you with all of our cares, all of our troubles, all the thoughts and burdens of the world, and trust you with them. So we leave it into your care, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think today about music to the ears, and I've divided this message, and the first thing I want to concern ourselves with is the general overview of the passage itself, and then we will narrow the focus down to our text, which is verse 7, and then we'll reach an application. Just as a general overview, just briefly again, skim down through these verses, and I'm going to give you an outline of the text. In verse 5 and verse 6, we have read that there's a grievous sickness. Jesus was entered into Capernaum, and there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And so here's a guy that has a lot of problems, and his servant is very sick, and so he comes to Jesus. There's a grievous sickness in verse 5 and verse 6. I like the generous attitude in verse 7. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. What a tremendous response. What an encouragement to the centurion. I will come and heal him. How generous of Jesus to do so. Verse 8 through verse 10, that is a mention of great faith. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go and he goeth, to another, come and he cometh, and to my servant do this and he doeth it. And so here's the guy he wants to do. He's really just trying to help Jesus out, and he's very humble. And he just says, well, you know what? I know how the authority thing works, and you have authority. So, you know, I know that you can just speak a word, and you don't even have to bother coming to the house. And that speaks of great faith in behalf of this centurion. And Jesus recognizes that in verse 10. And it's where it says that he heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Tremendous faith by this guy. So great faith. Then in verse 11 and verse 12, we see a general distinction. He says, I say unto you that many shall come from east and west, shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. General distinction between men, those of the kingdom and those of the kingdom of heaven. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and those who are saved are entered into the kingdom of heaven and will sit down in the kingdom of heaven. But as he makes reference, really, I believe, to the Jewish nation at this time, the children of the kingdom, the chosen people, are going to be cast out. You know why? Because they reject him. They deny him. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there's a general distinction between men. Still is true today, general distinction. You're either lost or you're saved. You're either a son of God or you're a son of the devil. And so that's the way it boils down to. Now, verse 13 then is the granted favor. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. He came with a request, asked it of Jesus, and then he puts that stipulation on it, and yet Jesus said, I will grant this to you, and the servant was healed. There are five considerations I would like for you to think about in this passage. Number one, what we see here is one who is ill-deserving and in great distress. I say he's ill-deserving because he's a Gentile. Jesus came to the Jews, and he came to his nation, and he ministered to his people. He said, I'm not sent, but only to the lost house of Israel. And so it's very unique that here comes a centurion making a request of Jesus, and he's going to receive an answer. Now, the Syrophoenician woman did that. She came to Jesus looking for help, and he wouldn't even listen to her. He wouldn't even hear what she had to say. And finally, though, through conversation and her persistence, the Lord healed her. Why? Because she had her great faith, but she was a Gentile. He was not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so here, this guy is ill-deserving. And I just want you to understand, dear friend, that all people are ill-deserving. If you ever take a request unto God, God does not owe you anything. God does not owe me anything. Often we think that God has to do because I'm asking. But the truth of the matter is, you know, apart from God's grace and his mercy, I am nothing, and I'm depraved, but he saved me, lives in my heart, but he doesn't owe me anything. He doesn't have to say yes to any of my prayers. But he does say yes a great many times, and aren't you glad that he does? Here's a guy, he was a Gentile, he's coming to Jesus, he's looking for help, and it's because of his servant who was sick of the palsy. Now, number two, I want you to consider that he comes to Jesus believing that Jesus can help. Now, presumably, he is aware of his person. I mean, he's heard of Jesus before, no doubt, and he has an idea that he has some sort of authority and carries authority because if he speaks of the matter of being authority and he compares it to Jesus, I know you can just speak a word and it will be taken care of. So he has some concept that here's a guy that has authority, has power, and you know, he speaks with authority, he preaches, and he's a guy that needs to be listened to. So presumably he believes that as he comes to him, and obviously he's aware of his ability. He has heard this one of Jesus has healed people and raised the sick and caused the blind to see and even raised the dead. This guy can help me. So here's a guy that's a Gentile coming to Jesus looking for help, believing that Jesus can help him. Do you believe Jesus can help you? Do you believe God can help? I pray that you do. Number three, I want you to consider that in this event, Jesus has an immediate response. An immediate response. Now, I want you to know that God doesn't always respond and jump as soon as somebody makes a request. This time, you look in the passage, and I like it. You go through the text, and he just says, I want you to come and help my servant. Would you please heal this guy? And what we have in the record is Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Right there. It's done. This is what I will do. As I mentioned, the Syrophoenician woman, he wouldn't even hear her request. He didn't want anything to do with her. When he found out that Lazarus, one whom he loved, was sick, he tarried a couple days before he went down. Of course, he knew he was going to raise him from the dead, but it wasn't an immediate response to the request. Come, a man whom you love is sick. Come and heal him. Jesus just didn't jump up and run down to Bethany. And so very often what we find in the Scripture is that God does respond, but he'll respond in his time, and he always responds in his time. Sometimes he responds immediately. Sometimes he takes his time. Sometimes he takes greater time. Sometimes he just flat says no, and it will never happen. But that's okay, isn't it? Why? Because he's God. He's God. But in this instance, in this event, here's a guy saying, my servant is sick, come and heal him. He says, I will. I will. I like that. And so we see this very open, willing idea. Okay. No hesitation. Okay. Number four. What I find about this well-meaning centurion is he sort of hinders him, because if you ever made a request for somebody and they said, oh yeah, I'll help you, and then all of a sudden you start putting stipulations on it after you've already got a yes out of them. This guy says, I want you to come and heal my servant. And Jesus says, okay, I'll come and heal him. And he says, oh, wait a minute. By the way, you don't have to come. What's with that? You know, Jesus said he'll come and heal him. Why is he going to throw up any kind of hindrance whatsoever? To me, he's taking a big risk. Now, I understand his idea. I really do believe he was humble. I really believe that he wasn't worthy that Jesus should come under his roof, and he didn't want to just really bother Jesus, and he believed that Jesus could heal and didn't have to come and all that. But, you know, at the same time, he was taking a risk here, because Jesus could have said, well, you know what, just forget it. He could have, couldn't he? But he didn't. But he could have. I see the guy kind of throwing up sort of a hindrance here, and I get his idea behind it, but you know, I think he's taking a big chance. But he says, Jesus, you don't have to. I believe you can take care of it. And so, number five, I want you to consider that Jesus, undaunted, albeit he was impressed, undaunted, he heals long distance. And so that's what he did. He says, great is your faith. It'll be according to your word. And his servant was healed in that self same hour. Jesus didn't go and heal him like he said he was going to. He did it long distance. And because that guy had made the request of him. But what a story that we have in our passage. Now, there's a couple lessons before we narrow it down to verse 7. I want to really emphasize verse 7. And that is the first lesson: although not deserving and in our distress, we can turn to Jesus for help. I said that none of us deserve God's blessings. Never have, never will. But although we don't deserve, aren't you glad you can still turn to Him? You know, if you're here today outside of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you're a child of the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. You're dead in trespasses and sins. You're blind, wandering around in the dark. You need the Savior. Why should He hear any prayer request of yours, ever? What really is in you that He should even listen to you? But you know what? He will. He will. And He can when He chooses to do so, right? So although ill-deserving in our distress, we can turn to Jesus for help. What a joy that is. Number two, we will likely not turn to Him if we don't believe He can give us help. If you don't believe God can help, you're likely not to turn to Him. Christian, if you think that God's just not able to do it, that he's just some old ancient frail creature up there that is wringing his hands at the world, you know what? You're likely not to turn to God. But I want you to know, we've been talking about the characteristics and attributes of God in the adult Sunday school class. This morning we talked about the omnipotence of God. God is the omnipotent God. He is on his throne. He's in control. He's not worried one bit about anything that's going on in this world. He is in control. And I want you to know, he can help. Now, if you don't believe that, you won't turn to him. And sinner, if you don't believe that God can save you, you won't turn to him. You won't get the help that you need. But then I have to remind you through this that not all answers to our prayers are yes, but many are. Aren't you glad God doesn't always say yes to you? I mean, at the time you thought it was really important. At the time you really thought that this was exactly what you needed. But then over a period of time you look back and you think, boy, I'm really glad God didn't give me what I asked for. We're just so limited, aren't we? Now, I'm submitting unto you that when we hear yes, that's music to our ears, right? But you know, the truth is, even when God tells us no, that ought to be music to our ears. Why? Because God knows what's best for us. You know, I know as a parent, sometimes we have to tell our children no, and it's for their best, for their good, what we think is right, and how we ought to rear them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They don't like hearing no. But if they really did truly believe that we had their best interests in heart and really wanted to raise them up properly and teach them things, and we know the dangers of the world that they don't know, if we tell them no, if they would trust that, they would say, you know, I might not like that, but they have their best interest in heart for me. And so therefore, I'm going to accept that. Well, we have to do that with God. God will tell us no. But if he tells us no, then whatever we asked was not right, would not have been good, and would have been destructive in our lives. So truly, if God tells us no, that should be music to our ears, but often it is not. But let's think about this from the positive aspect. Let's think about this guy and the request that he makes. Hone in on verse 7 for just a second. Narrow this focus. Jesus saith unto him, I will come. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Now think of it this way. As a centurion comes to Jesus, you know, he may have had some doubts. Now, we don't know his heart and his mind, but I have a feeling he's human just like every one of us. There's something in the back of his mind saying, I'm going to come and ask this guy, but I really don't know for sure he's going to do what I want him to do. He may have had some doubts. There may have been a question in his mind, can he really help me? Will he help me? What if he cannot come? What if he says no? I mean, do you really think that this centurion approached Jesus Christ with an absolute certainty beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was going to say, yes, I'll come and heal him? Or do you think that in his heart and in his mind, there were some, hey, wait a minute. I'm coming and I know what he can do, but what if he doesn't want to? And I see the centurion coming to him, making a request, not really sure of the outcome. But how wonderful the words in verse 7. He might have been trembling when he asked Jesus, will you come and heal my servant? Will you take care of this guy? He's so sick. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And immediately you can just kind of sense the tension just go out of this guy's body. And whew, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. That's music to my ears. How lovely is that? I was reading this passage not too long ago and coming through here, and that verse 7 just jumped off the page. I mean, just out of nowhere. I mean, imagine it from that idea. Here's a guy coming with questions, doubts, possibilities, but he's coming and he's making a request. He doesn't know what's going to happen. And boom, I will come and heal him. Wow, that's exciting. It's thrilling to him. Now, there are some observations that emerge from this. I see that Jesus is responsive. He is attentive and he is interactive. He listens to him. Now, remember the Syrophoenician woman. He wouldn't even hear her. Wouldn't even listen to the request. But he listened to him. He granted him an audience. He's attentive and he's interactive with this guy. He listens to his request and he's quick and immediate. I will come and heal him. I like that. I will come and heal him. Don't you like that when you've asked requests of God and it's immediate? God acts. God responds. I will come and heal him. How marvelous that is. Jesus is not only responsive, he's personally interested. He said, I. You remember back in the Old Testament when Elisha sent his servant to raise the son? Elisha didn't go. He sent his servant. Could Jesus have sent any of the apostles? Couldn't he have just said, well, okay, I'll send Peter and he'll heal him? He could have done that. But he was personally interested in this case. He said, you ask the request of me, I'm going to do something about it. So he's personally interested, and Jesus is willing. He says, I will. Here's a guy distraught, great concern over his servant, approaches Jesus, I believe in a meek and humble approach, beseeching the Lord, with an outside hope that he will do something for his servant. And right away, Jesus is involved. And he says, I will. I will. Do you like that? Now we know that Jesus is able. I mean, Jesus could heal all if he wanted to. He could prevent all things. We know he was able to heal the servant. The centurion believed it, and that's why he came to Jesus. And so he comes and he makes this request, and we see Jesus' response and how interested he is and how willing that he is. And personally, and you say, well, maybe you're reading too much into the text. Well, maybe I am, but this really encourages me. I really do sense an enthusiasm in him. Do you ever make a request of someone, they go, well, I'll help you. But you could tell it's kind of like, it's really kind of against their will. They really don't want to do it, but they're kind of being coerced. They really can't get out of it, so they're going to help you. You've heard that, haven't you? You said, hey, would you do this? They go, oh, yeah, I guess. Do you really get that out of this passage? Do you really get the idea here that he says, will you come and heal my servant? And Jesus says, well, yeah, I guess so. Do you get that? I don't get that. That's not what I got the other day when I was reading through it. I see, yeah, I will. I'll come and heal him. I see an enthusiasm. I just sense here that Jesus is right on board immediately. I will come and heal him. And the good thing about this too, and we just see it in the last part of that verse, is that Jesus is appropriate. Now, you say, well, why in the world would you make a statement like that? He says, I will come and heal him. What I'm saying unto you is that Jesus is going to do exactly what is needed. You know, sometimes we try to help people, and we don't help them the way they really need it. I remember a pastor up in Ohio, when people would come to him for making benevolent requests, they'd say, would you do this, would you do that? And he said, we can only help those whom we know how to help. And that really is true. Just handing a $5 bill to somebody because they ask you doesn't mean that's the best way to help them. You can only help those whom you know how to help. Now this guy had a servant that was sick. And what did Jesus say? Well, I will come and make sure all your soldiers are in line. That's not what he said. He said, well, I'll come and make sure that your crops produce. He didn't say that. I'll come and make sure your wife is healthy. He didn't say that. What was the guy's request? My servant is sick. Will you heal him? And he says, I will come and heal him. I like that. I like that. And I like the enthusiasm which I believe is there. Now, why is this music? The title of my message is Music to the Ears. And why is this music to this guy? This is music to the centurion's ears because his servant was desperately sick. And he loved his servant and had great compassion for him. And he desired that his servant would be healed. So he takes the time to come to Jesus, and he risks being embarrassed, and he chances being turned down. Instead, he receives immediate affirmation. Yes, Jesus will come, and he will heal his servant. And that's music to his ears, isn't it? That's what he wanted to hear. Yes, I do like the way it's recorded. No hesitation. Will you come and heal him? Jesus saith unto him, I will. I will. I do like that. That is music, isn't it? Let me give you a brief summary before we make an application. This story evidences Jesus' compassion and mercy. He has compassion on the centurion. I believe he has compassion upon his servant. And so Jesus responds. This story that we find here, this event, is also an example. It's an example for us to follow. If we can help and we should help, then we should say yes. Doesn't mean we always ought to. You have to have discretion and wisdom of God. But if we can and if we should say yes. This is an example to follow. But it's also an example for us to observe. And that's why I bring this to you, is because I want to make an application in just a moment. And I want you to look at this event and observe it, because I want you to be able to take refuge in it. I want you to receive affirmation from this. I want you to know that there are things that you can go with before God. And you know what will happen? You will hear yes, and it'll be music to your ears. And so these words are words of encouragement. I will come and heal him. Now you say, what in the world are you talking about? You get the story, right? You understand what's going on. I trust that you sense the enthusiasm that I sense through the passage where Jesus said, I will, I will. I want to apply this passage. This is the third part of my message. And turn, if you will, to the book of James. There are some things I want to apply, and I call it this. I want to give you a little music today. A little music. And no, I'm not going to sing, so you don't have to worry about that. And some of you just thought, that is music to my ears. He's not going to sing. First of all, and as I think of the text and I see a physical healing, sometimes if we plead for healing, physical healing, sometimes we hear, I will. I will. Not all the time. And we don't know the mind of God, but you know, if God was going to heal everybody, then there would never be a need for doctors and never be any hospitals and nobody would ever die. Elijah fell sickness with the sick wherewith he died. You know what? Sickness happens. Thing comes in. God doesn't always heal. But sometimes we'll ask, and you know what? He'll heal. And he'll heal immediately. You know, believe it or not, there's a few times I've went to people that were getting ready to deliver their babies, and they were stuck. And we pray, and you know what? Things started happening. Was it me? No, absolutely not, but God said, I will. And there are many times you can reflect upon your life where you've cried out to God, and God said, I will. There are other times he said no. And there are other times he said, I will, but later. But you know what? There are many times he says, I will. Now, I just referred you to the passage in James because it talks about healing a little bit. And this is really good news, because there are things that you can commit and sins that you might perform or whatever, you know what, sickness may come. You can turn to God and God will say, I will. And there's just a reference here. James 5 verse 14 says, if any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Sometimes you'll cry out to God for physical healing, and you might hear, not now, maybe later, you might hear a no, but you'll also hear yeses, won't you? Now that's music to your ears, especially when you're sick. I know when I'm sick, I don't like to be sick. I want to be healed. I want the pain to go away. When I ask God to take it away, you know what? It's music to my ears when it goes away. But let's think of it this way. You're there in James, right? Go back to chapter 1. Do you know that there are things that you can ask God and you can expect a yes? You said, no, wait a minute. I didn't know that you could presume upon God. I'm going to show you some music. James 1, verse 5. Do you need wisdom? Do you have any troubles, trials, tribulations coming upon you, and you just really don't know how to deal with it, and you got decisions you have to make, and you just don't know what to do and how to deal with those things, and you need an understanding? Do you know what it says in James 1, 5? Now, you're going to go to God, and you're going to say, God, give me wisdom, give me understanding. That's your request, right? What does James 1, 5 say? if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth him not. What's it say? And it shall be given him. Do you know what? I am absolutely confident. This is music to my ears. I am absolutely persuaded that any time I go before God and say, God, would you give me wisdom? You can give me wisdom. You said you would give me wisdom, and I believe you'll give me wisdom. Do you know what he'll say? Yes, I will. Yes, I will. I don't have to worry about maybe later. I don't have to worry about a no. It's music to my ears. If this guy came to Jesus and said, will you heal my servant? He says, I will. And I can go to Jesus and you can go to the Lord at any time and say, God, give me wisdom. And you know what the scripture says? I will. Doesn't that encourage you? Doesn't that help you? That's what the scripture says. It shall be given him. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Let me give you a little bit more music. Do you know that if you request good things from God, what do you expect to hear? Now the problem is, sometimes we ask what we think is good and what we believe is good. And God won't give it to us because he knows it isn't good. But I want you to look into Matthew chapter 7 and look at verse 11. This is Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount in regard to their instruction to prayer and so forth. And he says this. See if this isn't music to your ears. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Good things. If it's God's will, and it's his pleasure, it's for his honor, for his glory, and it's for your good and your betterment, you know what? Anytime you go to God with a request of good things, God says, I will. I will. Again, the problem is we don't always know what is good. You say, well, wait a minute. What about that yes, but you have to wait? Well, that yes, have to wait really is, it's good for you, but not right now. And so I'll give it to you when it's good to give it to you. So at that time, it wouldn't be good, would it? In its proper time, it would be. I submit unto you, if you need wisdom of God, you can ask God and you can expect, I will. If you want good things from God, ask good things from God. You know what you can expect? I will. I believe it. Look over to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. A little more music. Do you know you can ask God to give to bless you in your giving? As you give to God, you can seek God to bless you. Now, it doesn't mean if you give a dollar, he's going to give you 100 back. Some people teach that. I don't think that's right. God can do all kinds of things, and if he wants to give you money back, he will give money back. But I want you to know, giving to God is not an investment bank. But you can also give to God with faith, knowing that God will bless. God honors faithfulness. And I want you to see that if you give to God and you're faithful with your tithes and offerings, you know what? You can ask God to bless. And what will he do? He will not withhold good things from you. And what do you read in the passage? This is Luke 6. Look at verse 38. Now, see if this is music. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal shall it be measured unto you again. Give, and shall be given unto you. You can ask God blessings in your giving. And do you know what you'll hear? I will. I will. God's not going to say, give and it shall be given unto you. Oh, but wait a minute. He said, I will. I will. You say, oh, well, good. Then I'll give 10 and he's going to give me back 100. He's going to give me back 1,000. And I got all these bills, so I'm going to start tithing, and maybe he'll make up for all my bills and my ill discretions, and I brought all this burden upon me, and he's going to fix it all. Well, not necessarily so. He could. But he'll bless you if you give. I just want you to know he'll bless you. You know what he can do? He can keep you from being sick. so you don't have to pay medical bills. He can keep that car from breaking down, so you don't have to pay car expenses. He can keep that house from needing repair. But you say, wait a minute, I get sick and my car breaks down. Well, that's part of life, isn't it? My car broke down last week. I had to go have the brakes fixed. Oh, preacher, you're not giving then. If you was giving, you would. I didn't say that. But I want you to know, as you go before God and you give, you can say, God, would you please bless me? And you know what you're going to hear? I will. I will. That's music to the ears, isn't it? Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 16, isn't that a lovely verse? Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. You have problems, trials, tribulation, you need grace? You need grace for your life? You know what you can do? You can come boldly to the throne of grace, and what will he say he'll give you? He'll give you grace in a time of need. I will. I will. Well, that's music. That's music. I will. Over to James chapter 4. Look at verse 8. James 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I want you to know, dear Christian friend, if you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. You don't have to go to him in prayer and say, God, I want to draw near to you, but I'm not really sure you're going to draw near to me. It ought to be music to your ears. He said, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. You cry out to God, God, I want to be closer to you. You think he's going to run? No, he's going to say, I will. I'll come to you. You draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. That's music. You can ask. And you know what he'll do? Back in 1 John, just a few more pages over, 1 John chapter 1. Then I have one more after this. Do you understand the sentiment of which I express these things to you today? Do you realize we can look at this story of the centurion and his servant and Jesus' response, and that really was music to his ears. And the enthusiasm of which it was without hesitation. And there are things you can go before God. We ask, and we yes, no, or maybe later. But I want you to know there are things you can go before God, and it's music to your ears because he says, I will. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 is the last thing I want to submit unto you. Then one more thing. When a child of God wanders, you know there's forgiveness. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad? You know, when you were young and you did something dumb and stupid and all that and you, against your parents, you know, you might go to mom and dad and say, God, man, would you please forgive me, Dad? Would you please forgive me, Mom? You know, they might not. But aren't you glad if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Absolutely guaranteed, dear Christian friend, if you'll go to God with your sin and confess it before him, he will forgive. I will. I will. That's music. You know why? Because I still fail. I still sin against my Heavenly Father. I'm not perfect. But I don't have any fear of rejection. Because I know if I confess my sins, he will forgive me. One last thing. And I want to apply this to those who are here who may not be saved. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And you need to listen very carefully to what I'm telling you. And if you're saved, you need to listen very carefully what I'm saying so you do not misunderstand what I am saying. John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come unto me. And notice what it says in the last part of that verse. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Do you know what I find in the Scripture? Jesus said, if anybody would come to me, I will not turn them away. And so I want you to know today, dear lost friend, I've already said you're dead in trespasses and sins. You're blind. You're a child of the devil. You're an enemy of God. You need the Savior. If God works in your heart, is convicting you, drawing you, bringing you to himself, and if you would repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? He said, I will in no wise cast you out. In other words, you can be saved today. That's on the authority of God's word. Now, I did not say that at your whim and your fancy, you'll place demands upon God. And you figure, well, I'll just live my life the way I want, and I'll sin all I want, and right before I die, I'll ask Jesus into my heart. If God isn't convicting you, and God isn't drawing you, if God isn't moving in your heart, you can utter those words all you want, and God will not hear. But when God moves, and when God convicts, and when God draws, you cry out to God for mercy. He will hear. Every time. I will. I will. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will. I've talked to people down through my ministry, and I've run into some individuals who believe that they've done too much, gone too far, sinned too greatly, that God would not save them. I want you to know, if you think you're in one of those situations, God's convicted you, God's burdening you, and you know you've erred, you know Jesus is the only way for eternal life, He's the Savior, if you would repent and believe, you know what? He will give you eternal life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I will. You say, well, is that really music to your ears? Absolutely, because there was a time back in 1974 when God convicted me and God was drawing me. And I, as a teenage boy, just said, God, would you save me? And you know what I heard? Not audibly, of course, but it was an I will. I will. So, sinner today, music to your ears. If God moves in your heart, convicts and draws, you can cry out to God, and He will save you. He will give you eternal life. That's music, isn't it? It's music to every sinner's ears. And I've given you a little bit of music today for those of us who are saved, that we can go to God, we can cry out to Him, and there are things that we know for sure. He said, I will. I will. I will. That's good news, isn't it? Isn't that music? I pray that the service today is music to your ears, because it speaks to your heart and God has spoken to you. Let's stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? I appreciate your kind attention. I appreciate your patience. And the invitation simply is this: right where you are, as God moves into your heart, that you would respond to Him. Sinner, that you might be saved. And if you repent and believe on Him there and He saves you, come and let us know. Because it says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. All that you would believe and be saved. Let's stand. And if you're saved today, may you find encouragement through the Word. God will, in areas, say, I will. And I hope that's a blessing to you. Father, we ask You, bless Your Word, speak to every heart, saving the lost, and Father, strengthening Your people. We'll give You the honor and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number did you choose, Brother Paul?